What's up, y'all? Welcome or welcome back to the Meat and Heat podcast with your host, me, Araya Sunshine. You can call me Araya or Sunshine. I promise you it does not matter to me. But this season two, episode two, I actually don't know what I'm going to title it yet. So I'm not going to say the name because as of now, it's a no name. Maybe I'll just do it simple. Anywho, today we're talking about, also, sorry, I'm skipping the question. I'm just hopping straight into this because we're talking about some things. Talking about some things. I'm talking about sexuality. I'm talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about perversion, bestiality, orgies, promiscuity, like the rise of that in our culture. All the things. Like I'm diving deep into it. If any of that stuff at any moment, if it's a trigger for you, if it makes you uncomfortable, by all means, you have the right to leave the video. I promise I'm not holding you at gunpoint. I understand that. If you have like any arguments for or against what I'm saying, you can like DM me on Instagram. You can just leave a comment. Honestly, y'all, I'm open to anything. If I have error, I have error. Point blank, period. Not on the Bible verses, because that's the word of God. But if I'm wrong about something, then I'm wrong about something. I don't have a problem with open rebukes, and I'll do another video on that as well. Also, my shirt's from Beacon Threads, and it just says pray. You can't tell because I'm gonna have to flip this video because the way the sign is set up, and also when I flip it, it may look like I have a middle part instead of a middle part, and it may look like my bob is crooked. It's not, I promise. Also, speaking of the bob, I did actually end up cutting my hair several inches. I didn't do it actually, Rebecca did, so shout out to you, girl. But so that's why my hair looks significantly shorter. I cut it into a bob 6 months ago, and I'm doing it again now. So maybe this will just be an every 6 months thing. Who knows? But getting right into this, I'm just going to go in with the definition of sexuality. This is defined by the Better Health Channel. Sexuality is about your sexual feelings, thoughts, attractions, and behaviors toward other people. And then unfortunately, whenever perversion creeps in, well, sin is sin and perversion is sin, but whenever that creeps into the highest extent, this is when you start having issues of bestiality and people being attracted to things and not actual people. Like anime stuff, like kind of on the lines of like how furries go very far. Sexuality also plays into like when people are attracted to things and not people. This is why some people are, I kid you not, addicted to sex toys. Like I can't make this stuff up. And I know for some things I talk about in this video, it may be funny or things like that. And you're like, oh, well, I don't struggle with that. But okay, you may not struggle with homosexuality, or you may not struggle with bestiality, or you may not struggle with lustful thoughts or whatever the case is, but you could struggle with gossiping, which that too is a sin. And Jesus died to the cross on that, as he did sexual immorality. You could also struggle with stealing. That's still a sin. So I don't think it would be appropriate for anybody to be like, oh, this person has those sexual thoughts. That's disgusting. And they're this, that, and a third, but yet you're a sinner as well. How does that make sense? It doesn't. I'm telling you that now. So yeah, I just wanted to give a disclaimer for that because I don't feel like enough people say that. Unfortunately, what we see a lot is people are no to homosexuality, which is that biblical? Yes, but they have no backing for it. They don't make sense, don't even know why they believe it. Couldn't even tell you what the word homosexual means. They're just out here oblivious. And so I don't want that to be the case for y'all to just be loud, but then you have no backing. It doesn't make sense. In Hosea 4:6, God says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. I don't want any of us perishing for a lack of knowledge. If you're swaying one way on something, and especially if it's the word of God, stand in that. But if you don't know why, you have to be educated when it comes to the Bible. And this is talked about in Hebrews. We cannot always stay on baby formula when it comes to the word of God. As you get older, you do have to learn more and more. And so, anyways, coming back into this, also another thing with sexuality, you can also see the rise of like incels and things like that. Whenever people's needs, actually, no, that's not a quotation mark. whenever we as humans feel like our needs are not being met with our sexuality, our sexual feelings, thoughts, attractions, our desire to be touched, because we have hormones. Last time I checked, I do have a vagina and I do have ovaries. If you're a male, you have a penis. Yes, we have these things. They're working if you don't have medical issues. And so, of course, we have feelings. We want to have sex. We want to be touched. We desire those things because it's human. It's innate. Just like if you throw a T-bone steak at a dog, don't tell that dog to sit. It's going to go and get the T-bone steak. It's innate. It's the same thing for us as humans. Like, we have the organs. We want the desires. We want to be held. We want that type of intimacy and stuff. And so when that's not met, you see the rise of promiscuity, which I'm going to talk about. You see the rise, unfortunately, I'm going to talk about this as well in the Bible, of rape and molestation and grooming and assault. Law and Order SVU. I recommend that show. You see the rise of soft pornography all over. You see the rise of hardcore pornography. You see the rise of underage pornography, okay? Just recently, by the way, because I want y'all to be educated, Pornhub had to delete probably millions, I could be wrong on that number, of videos because they could not tell, or either they were positive that they were underage individuals in the videos. I'm the oldest of six. I have five siblings, all of whom are under the age 18. I just turned 18. I need y'all to understand that when lust runs wild in you and when sexuality is not underneath God's standard, you are opening up the gateway for all hell to break loose with perversion and so many demonic things coming in and seeping in. But also with sexuality, you're going to see when people feel like their needs aren't met, they join communities because that's now their identity. We see this with LGBTQ, definitely on the rise. No matter where you stand, everyone can agree that LGBTQ has been on the rise lately, like the statistics, the standards, and all of those things versus like 100 years ago or 50 years ago. And I definitely know for a fact technology plays in that. But then you also see with other communities, you have things like incels. They feel like they're hated by women or they're not being chosen by women. And so they join together and they decide to then hate them because they're not having sex. Whenever sexuality is not dealt right, it's absolutely insane. And so I'm going to first start off with Galatians chapter 5. Now, the whole first season of the Me and He podcast, I talked about the fruits of the Spirit. And I also talked about in the third episode, Continually in Conflict, I talked about how there are the fruits of the Spirit and their counterparts. Right now, I'm about to talk about their counterparts. So this is Galatians chapter 5, and I'm just looking on my Chromebook. This is just a digital Bible. I'm going to start with verse 19. Now, the practices, because these are practices, these are active, these are habits, which is why people then confuse them being a child of God with their habits and practices, because this is what they're doing. This is their lifestyle. This is what they're actively living. But the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. Clear. Right now, it's not clear because I have astigmatism. Put these babies on, and guess what? I see clear. 20/20 vision, basically. Not really. Clearly because I have glasses, but these things are clear. You don't even have to do a million and one things and jump through hoops to see, man, is this person doing practices of sin or no? It's here. It's evident. It'll always be evident in their fruits. Either you can have ripe fruit, like right now in the month of March, ripe fruit right now would be kiwis, maybe oranges still. That, in my opinion, would be joined to like the fruits of the Spirit. On the other hand, if you are practicing in sin and stuff like that, that's like trying to buy strawberries right now. They're not the most ripe. I would liken that to sin practices. But they are sexual immorality, which I named all of them at the beginning. Impurity, sensuality. That's another big thing in our generation. We are so led by feelings. Every single time we're talking to someone, it's, I feel this. I feel this. Even, I'm going to speak on this in other episodes too, but even prophets today, they say, I feel like God is saying this. Since when? Whenever God speaks, there's certainty and there's assuredness. We hear everyone today on the internet saying, I feel like she was attacking me, or I feel like this was going this way. I'm not telling you not to have emotions. John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible, says Jesus wept. Even Jesus had emotions. God gives us emotions to steward. In Ephesians, it says, be angry, but sin not. Literally a command to be angry, telling you to be angry. But we confuse things with being driven by our emotions instead of having balanced emotion and balanced logic going hand in hand. It's idolatry, it's sorcery, it's hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Point blank. It's simple. There's no way around this. I see a lot of times Christians like Lecrae, T.D. Jakes. I can't even think of the others off the top of my head. I'm not going to lie. But a lot of people are not honest whenever the big thing comes up, LGBTQ. And if you're, or I think 2IA plus, there's like some people only do LGBT. Some people say LGBTQ. Some people say LGBTQ 2IA. There's different ones. But if you're not privy to what it means, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, trans, queers, and then the two, I think two spirit for Native Americans, I cannot tell you. And then A is asexual, I'm assuming, but there's different things. And we see lately whenever Christians are asked, do you believe that homosexuality is a sin? Or how do you feel about homosexuality? Or do you think that a man can marry a man or a woman can marry a woman? You're either met with crickets, you're met with this long message of someone trying to beat around the bush, even if they're a pastor, which is actually insane because in the Bible, it gives you a list of qualities that you have to be in order to be a pastor. And so if you can't even get your doctrine or theology right, I question your ability to steward a flock. Going back to what I was saying, though, they'll give you maybe a blank stare. They'll be like, nope, I'm uncomfortable with this. Or they'll be like, I'm not really skilled in this matter. Now, I'm a huge encourager that if someone asks you something about the Bible and you don't know, do not lie. Just say, I don't know. Do not give them this 15-minute long essay where you're throwing them in circles. And then by the time they're finished, they're like, what did you just say? You didn't really say anything. Just say that you don't know. I'm a firm believer in that. But when it comes to big issues in the Bible, like LGBTQ, like God being God, like the Trinity, like the Old and New Testament, like Jesus dying on the cross, those things, I don't believe that your faith should be shaken. I believe that 10,000 times out of 10, you have to know where you stand on that. And I also spoke about this as well in the first season. I was like, the fruits of the Spirit they are our identifiers as Christians. And so if you can't even answer simple questions about the Bible, how can someone tell you apart from an unbeliever, from a Muslim, from a Hindu, from a Buddhist? It doesn't make sense. And so going back to this, I don't know if it's because I'm reading AMP or if it's a different verse, but there's also one that also talks about like orgies and stuff like that. Like, when the Bible talks about sexual morality, it talks about it. And so for us as Christians to say like, oh, I don't feel like I should speak on that, or I'm going to make people upset. Jesus is the same one in John that says, if the world hated you, remember it hated me first. So the correct response when someone asks you, do you believe that homosexuality is a sin, or bestiality, or perversion, or drunkenness, and rape, and molestation, and grooming, and anything under that list, the answer is yes. If they ask you why, you provide scripture. I'm going to go on with a couple. Okay, Leviticus 18 and 22. It says, you shall not lie. Lie does not mean, it does mean sleep, like, but it also means to have sex with a male as with the woman. It's an abomination. And an abomination is like a very absurd and egregious and asinine thing. Like, this is saying it's not acceptable, it's not permissible. And I know that people have different values on this and belief systems, even as Christians, because they're like, well, this is Leviticus, and Jesus said to do away with the Old Testament law. And they're referring to when, I'll just look it up. I need to look it up and actually give Bible. Okay, I'm going to find the verse. I'm about to ask Google. Jesus talking about the old law Bible verse. Okay, and that.
In Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 18, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them."
He's saying, I haven't come to abolish the law or the prophets and everything that they stand for. I've instead come to fulfill them. The law was in place as like a placeholder for the people during that time, because even though Jesus was there in spirit, Jesus was not physically there on the earth. Even though he has the same spirit as God, the Holy Spirit, at the time in the Old Testament, he was not in the flesh like us, you and me. He was not on the earth at that time. And so Jesus is saying, I didn't come so that you could do away with the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books, the books of the law. He's not saying I came to do away with that all. He's saying I came instead to fulfill it. If you ever felt like there were cracks or things that weren't right in the law, he's saying now I'm coming to fulfill that. That was the base layer. I'm the house on top of that base layer. That's what he's saying. And so in Leviticus, people always try to do away with Leviticus laws, which you can argue about one way or another. But this is one that we don't do away with, because there's a difference between contextual laws, like the context, and there's a difference between like ceremonial laws, like this is where you hear like the sacrifice words and the high priests towards like the end of Exodus and in Leviticus because of the Levites, and like in Deuteronomy and stuff in Numbers. You hear about all that stuff in the ceremonial laws, and then you have the laws that you like still follow today and things like that. Like, just because in the Ten Commandments it says you shouldn't kill, but Jesus says I came to fulfill the laws in the New Testament, that doesn't mean that you're like, oh, guess we can kill now. It doesn't work that way. This is why you really have to practice your hermeneutics, which is just the way that you read the Bible, and you really have to have more exegesis than eisegesis. Exegesis is when you're reading the Bible and you're taken away from it with the context at that time and how the author was writing. Eisegesis is when you read something in the Bible and you come up with your own interpretation. That should not be happening, point blank, period. But unfortunately, we have a lot of pulpit people who are just preaching on whatever they want to preach, either because it's bringing in money and because it feels good to the audience, so it's keeping their pockets fat, or it's just comfortable to them, or it just fits the own narrative that they have in their heads. I don't know, because I'm not them, but I'm just saying. You have Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. If a man lies with the male as with the woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. During this time, this does not mean, hear me when I say, during this time, this is why context is important. This, like sexual immorality, they did not play with. This was not the only act that was worth you being killed. Rape and all those other things, sodomy, any bestiality, anything else with sexual immorality, it was worthy of death during that time. That is not me. But now you see someone who identifies in the LGBTQ community and you tell them, oh, you gotta kick the bucket. That is wrong. Or like the church, who they go around and they like, I don't know, like they're always screaming and they're angry and like they'll literally protest anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about either. That's not a good representation either. But it's also not a good representation to just be like, oh, someone asked, I'm just gonna lie. That's not a good representation either, because with both sides having common is and me included, all of us, we have to account for what we did on this earth, point blank period. And so you can make someone happy on social media for a couple of seconds and tell them that sin is not sin and have to deal with that later as a consequence when you stand before the Almighty God, Almighty, all powerful, all knowing, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Elohim, Yahweh, Yah. You can stand in front of him and say that, or you could just realize that this is what the Bible says, and if you believe it's the authority, act according to it. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our commandments are also to tell the truth, to not lie. I always tell people, there are certain people that they're not my favorite. I'm going to be real with you. But the respect I have for them will always remain, because even though they may not agree with me or may not like me, they are always honest with me and they always tell me the truth. Those are my kind of people, because even though we will never probably be best friends, they are truthful with me. We need that same thing as Christians talking to other Christians or even just talking to unbelievers. This also does not mean that you start yelling out slurs, none of which are appropriate, point blank, period. Keep the same energy when it comes to sins. We know that stillers, do you call a stiller klepto, because they're a kleptomaniac? Okay, maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe that was a bad example. Let me rewind. That's the rewind noise. We're going to bring it back. Whenever we hear that there's a gay man, a gay woman, bisexual, something of that nature, versus someone who steals, someone who maybe even kills, which, okay, someone who got into a fight, like a physical altercation or whatever, for most Christians, and I cannot speak for most Christians, let me not say that, for some Christians, and at one point in time, myself included, before I realized how hypocritical I was, which I'll get into, and just how I was also being used by Satan, even as a Christian, this was as crazy. They believe that the left is worse than the right. And you can even think about this with politics as well. Everybody always wants to be right. They would think that the left is worse than the right, when in all actuality, everybody sinned in the equation. And I love what Jackie Hill Perry said on this matter. Jackie Hill Perry is an ex-lesbian who is now married to Preston Perry. Sorry, I didn't know if it was Preston Hill Perry. Preston Perry. They're married, they have kids and everything. And when she was talking to Lecrae, she said, I still have times where I'm tempted, but what she's saying is she just chooses not to follow suit. And so this is why I said earlier I was hypocritical. I talked about this in my testimony video, which will be posted before this. But whenever I was younger, by the time I was 8, so think about your brain in that situation. It's not even fully formed. I'm 18. My brain's still not fully formed. But by the time that I could even really hit middle school or anything like that, try and even focus on my identity, which I will also get into in the book of Genesis, I was groomed by a woman that I considered family. And to me, I started identifying like, oh, I guess I like women. At the time, I'm 8, I had never been sexually active with a man. I still have never been sexually active with a man. Now it's like I'm choosing not to. I'm choosing to wait for a husband. But I had never had a boyfriend at the time. I had never really realized that I actually liked boys. Before any of that could even form, I was already being groomed. And so, of course, for me, my identity was then rooted in, I think I like girls. Like, and I'm saying it like that because think of 8-year-old me. I didn't know. I was confused. Like, I genuinely did not know. And I'm saying this because while we as humans make mistakes and we're finite, God is not finite. He's infinite. We make mistakes. God does not. We can love, but God is the embodiment of love, and not love like we show to each other that we love somebody when they do this for us and when it's transactional. No. God's love is agape love, like endless love, love that we can't even fully execute that. We can just try our best to copy it and imitate it at best, because his love is that much higher. me in my younger form, I was so confused. I didn't know what I was doing. Then me being groomed lasted from 8 until 12. 12 was when I was molested. 13 is when I was harassed by a stranger. And then 13 is also when I was sexually harassed by a doctor, which was insane. And then another incident like this happened when I was 16. And then in 2022, when I was 17. Mind you, if you're keeping all this in mind, I said I'm now 18. So these have all been patterns in my life of different perversion and acts committed against me from people against my will. And so, of course, by men and women, it confused me. It left me with a lot of feelings. And a lot of people in the LGBTQ community, they are also victims of assault, of rape, and things like that, which I will never undermine. I definitely know how that feels. And I'm like, come on. It's, unless you have been in that predicament, you just do not know what it feels like. You don't know the aftermath. You don't know the damage that it does to someone, especially as you. But thank God, seriously, though, that there's a savior. I said all that to say, all of those feelings and me not knowing and me not even being a full adult and making those decisions mixed with the pornography addiction and then me further being confused with watching men and women on the internet do things that I had never even done before. But these acts were committed against me. I just said, okay, I'm bisexual. That was what I identified with. And I'm saying all that to say, because I brought up like how hypocritical that was for me to take that side, because I want to be real. I've made mistakes 10,000%. I have definitely made mistakes in my life. But the bigger point is that God saved me. And I'm just pointing out like how this is unraveling in our generation. But okay, so in, hold up, let me go to the verse. I'm in Genesis chapter 2. Hold on, let me just look it up. God made man in his image. Sorry, that's Genesis chapter 1. This is NIV. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so now I'm going on to this because a lot of us do struggle with identity issues. Even if you're like, well, mine isn't sexual morality, stealing is an identity issue because you believe that what you have is not enough. The identity that God has blessed you with is not enough. The content that God has blessed you with is not enough. You have to go take it from someone else. So you can deal with that. You can deal with cussing and things like that. And if our tongues are supposed to be clean so that we can praise God, you can also be struggling with an identity issue. All of us have this in common. And again, Jackie Hill Perry said this, is that no matter if it's about our sexuality or not, when it comes to sin, we have the symmetry that we're sinners. Point blank, period. That's what we have in common. It doesn't matter if you're a, sorry, let me not say that. It does matter. But you can be a straight man, and there can be a Christian who's dealing with same-sex attraction or whatever the case is. Even though y'all may not be attracted to the same people, or maybe y'all are, or the same things, y'all are still struggling. Point blank, period, as sinners. But I say this because all of us as Christians, either now or at some point in our faith, have struggled with our identity in Christ. Especially if you had a story like mine where you were doing a million and one things before you came to Christ, you didn't know your identity. And I just wish that we would be more open with saying, I didn't know who I was, or even currently, I don't know who I am. Because a lot of the times with people, they use sexuality, even if it's with promiscuity or whatever it is, any of the ones I've named countlessly throughout this video, they use these different avenues of a way of projecting. Because sexuality, it feels good. Feeling stuff at times can feel good to numb the pain. Being touched, being pleased, being caressed, it can feel good because it numbs the pain and it takes things away. Let's be honest right now. Let's ask our flesh. Would you rather, and I'm not talking about your spirit, I'm talking about your flesh, which would feel better? Not if you give your life to Christ after, I can't ask you that because you know the answer, but in your flesh, it feels better to drink and to smoke and to have sex outside of marriage and to party and to do all this stuff. But you know what's better is waiting for God, and to, instead of getting high on these things, to instead just fall in love with Jesus and find safety and warmth and comfort in that. But we do the things that we don't want to do. We do the things that we know aren't beneficial to us. And Paul actually talks about this. We do the things that we don't want to do. Yes, Bible verse. Okay. This is Romans chapter 7. It says, "For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature." So even with us knowing knowledge and things like that, we still choose to do things that aren't good. That's what I'm saying. That's the connectedness that we all have as sinners, point blank, period. But also going on to the Genesis chapter 1, it is an identity issue. And especially, I would say, with the issue of transgenderism and things like that, especially with youth. And I'm saying that because I will be a teacher, so I primarily focus on youth. And I'm only 18, so I'm a youth, kind of youth adult, y-adult, I guess you put those words together. But it says God created mankind in his own image, meaning we mirror God. God is not driven at accelerated rates by his sexuality. Now, yes, put two and two together. I know it's because God does not have organs and things like that. So you're probably like, well, duh, he's not driven by those things. But what I'm saying is he's holy, he's perfect, he's sovereign. So we should strive to be that same way. God never said that sex was the devil. God did not say that. He said that it was not good when you do it outside of marriage because it knits you with someone else. In Genesis 2 and 24, it says a man leaves his mother and his father so that he can be joined with his wife, so that they can become one now. You're leaving the familiar to be knit with the unfamiliar, meaning like in the instance of you hadn't had sex and now you're knowing each other through that added layer of intimacy. And no, intimacy is not only drawn through sex. No, if that's the case, we wouldn't have friendships that are fulfilling to us and that they can preach Christ into our lives. But also with the issue of like switching your genders and your body and things like that, our identity is first rooted in Christ, and how he made us was good and was okay to him. He didn't look at us and say, "You have blemish, change." He didn't look at us and say, "I'm creating you like this, but eventually I want you to change into a woman or into a man, depending on what you currently are." He didn't say that. When he made us, he saw beauty in us. Even if everybody else around us told us that we didn't, even if you were a girl when you were younger and they were like, "You're so tomboyish," or "You act so boyish." Me? Messing with your identity as a kid? Please don't believe that. I spoke on this as well in the first season. Satan speaks his native language, which is lies and deceit. And he's just using other people as vessels to pour that into. Even if you were a young man and they said, "Oh, you're so feminine," and you're like 7 or something like that, don't believe what people are saying if it's not the word of God. And I know that as kids, if we're not raised by biblical parents, we unfortunately learn these things way later in life. But I just still pray that these are things that we would know eventually, or that we would share with others. But yeah, so I'll say that God doesn't make mistakes. And so that's why I'll say it in that instant. And then also, I'm not going to act like I'm oblivious. Just because I mentioned earlier that there has been a rise of LGBTQ, especially in kids and like adults and things like that recently, partly, mainly, I feel like due to technology, that doesn't mean that it wasn't already happening. Case in point, in 1969, you have the Stonewall riots. That was in the 60s. And there was still protesting over LGBTQ. And things like that. Even further back, we have Sodom and Gomorrah. If you're like Sodom, think sodomy. This, there was a lot going on. To give you the basis of the story, there were two angels that God sent down. Sodom and Gomorrah were like, I don't know if the proper term would be cities, territories, I don't know. But they were neighboring areas. And at the time, Abraham's grandson or either nephew, I think it was his nephew, Lot, L-O-T, was living there. But Lot was holy. And so God, Abraham is like on his nephew's behalf. He's like, God, like, do not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, please. And he's like, just please, like, if there's like 50 people, will you spare the city? And he's like 40, 30, 20, 10, just spare the city for my nephew and his wife and their kids. And so then God is like, okay, he sends down two angels to Lot's house. And what ends up happening, this is disgusting. I just recommend that y'all read it. But the people, the men specifically, tried to rape the angels. And so that was enough defilement for God. And he said, okay, take your wife and your kids. He's talking a lot. And he's like, y'all need to leave. And he told them, he said, don't look back. Because God was so angry with the perversion that had happened. Like, do you not know how driven by lust and perversion you have to be to want to rape angels? Why? Like, literally all I can say is why. I know why. It's that perversion being ran in them. But anyways, God ends up raining fire and brimstone down. And people always use this. It depends on which side of Christianity they swing on, but I don't know how, but some try to use this to justify LGBTQ or certain different sexual sins. Other people use this to just go straight against it, but in a way where they show a lot of hatred and things like that. Neither side is right. And especially if you're talking about anything with some hatred, check your heart first. I understand us wanting to hate sin and things like that, but whenever our tone is not correct, and all those things, you're going to lead people away. Now, when talking about issues like this, you're going to offend people no matter what, point blank, period. Like, as Christians, if a Muslim comes to us and says that Muhammad is the real prophet and not the ones that we have in the Bible, we would be offended. Anything can offend us, especially in our culture where we are so hypersensitive toward the wrong things. We're hypersensitive toward the Bible and the truth of God that's always been there. But we're not hypersensitive to topics like abortions and killing kids and grooming kids and things like that, which I think is quite insane. But this is just the reality we live in. So understand that you will offend people at times, but that does not mean that you say slurs and you treat those people differently, as if we weren't made by the same creator. That's what I'm saying, don't do. Point blank, period. But yeah, so There was that. And honestly, that story is just, it's a crazy story. Like, I always think to rape an angel is crazy. And since we're on the topic of rape, I also didn't mention it earlier as well. Rape is another thing that ends up happening. Now, this is not directly, I'm not saying this coincides with LGBTQ, even though I was a victim of being molested by a woman. And clearly we are the same sex. I had to think, I don't know if it's sex or gender, that's the right word. And if I'm how am I talking about sexuality if I don't know the difference between sex and gender? I say the two coincide. I'm going to just be real with you. I believe the two coincide, point blank, period. So I'm going to just say that. But, so I guess scratch what I said before. I do know sex and gender are the same. But with that, like, if you see, I was on the end of that with the same sex assault and things like that. But there are other ones just with a man and a woman. A woman can assault a man can sexually assault a woman. Like, these things happen whenever sin is in our heart and we are being rampant, we are being run rampant by gods instead of the one true God. And this is sad to see, but we see this in the Bible with Dinah. I'll actually read this, some of the story. Dinah in the Bible.
According to Britannica, Dinah in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 30, verse 21, 34, 46 to 50.
Genesis chapter 34.
Dinah was abducted and raped near the city of Shechem by Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite.
Yeah, hold on. She's actually reading the whole thing. I didn't want her to do that. But okay, so this is Genesis chapter 34. Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor, the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and he raped her. That was it. Like, I know there's more to the story, but I'm just saying, he saw her, he took her, he raped her. Just like that. And so just shows you whenever you're driven by sin, whenever you're driven by anything that is not God, you do heinous stuff. Point blank, period. But yes, and then he went on to say, verse 3, his heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, get me this girl as my wife. So he raped her, and then in his heart, he truly believed that he loved her. And he spoke tenderly to her, as if that excuses what he did. Like, seeing this now, I can say this man clearly had a mental illness. There's no way that he didn't with him acting this way. But I'm just saying, like, rape is also something that is talked about in the Bible. And unfortunately, it happens all the time in our society. And with our culture promoting all the things we do, like the hypersexualization of kids and things like that, the rape, the molestation, the grooming rates skyrocket. And it is sick on all across the board. It is very disturbing to me. It's so disturbing. And I know, as someone who's dealt with that over the course of years, it is very hard to come back to that, and 10 times harder if you do not know your identity in Christ as a child of God. Then there's another incident of rape in the Bible. I'll look up the next one. Her name was Tamar. And this, if you know who David is, she is a part of David's family. Tamar in the Bible. Second Samuel 13. Okay. In the course of time, Amnon, son of David, fell in love with Tamar. This is his sister, by the way. The beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David. Now, it's not saying his beautiful sister, because I think they're half, but still, it doesn't matter. It's incest, it's rape, it's disgusting on all counts. Even during this time in the Old Testament, when there was a lot of incest and stuff running rampant, it was never permissible by God for you to take, I'm so sorry, excuse me, someone that was not yours. Unfortunately, I believe this too growing up, because people told me this, and it just makes me so sad and disgusted. But I'm gonna actually like put the thumbnail here for the video that Corey did on the Smart Christian channel, because he goes into extent about Leviticus and unfortunately how mistranslations have actually caused Christians to think that God does not care about rape victims or things like that, which just breaks my heart, because again, I thought that way as well. I was like, how can I serve this God when he doesn't even care about the assault and things that I went through? But because of mistranslations and people preaching when they should not be preaching and pastoring when they should not be pastoring and carrying on these messages, people believe that there is no hope after circumstances like this. And also how I talked about earlier, like it said, lying with the man as you would a woman and things like that, like that was worthy of death. And I said the same thing for like at times stealing or even sinning against God, like stuff like that. There was a man in the Old Testament who died because he touched the Ark of the Covenant that was rolling through the city. I definitely recommend that y'all read that too, and I'll put the verse on the screen as well. Hold on, let me write this down so I can remember. But all of these things, they were permissible by death. Like, God was not playing back then. So it wasn't just with sexual immorality. It was with other things as well. But also with rape. You were supposed to die. If you decided to do that, stone you to death, do something. But God made sure that there were things in place, because in the Old Testament, when God was being serious about how he wanted his land to be holy, he wanted his people, the Israelites, to be holy, this included not partaking in sexual immorality, period. And notice how I'm not saying not partaking in sex if you're married. That's not what I'm saying. Marriage between a man and a woman underneath God's standards, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying sexual immorality, because there is a difference. So then Amnon became so obsessed with his sister Tamar that he made himself ill. Y'all, these men, Shechem, Amnon, mental illnesses is what they have. Okay. but made himself ill. She was a virgin, and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. Now, Amnon had an advisor named Jonadab. I'm going to skip in that part, but Jonadab was like his uncle because it was David's brother. And so he tells his uncle this plan. He's like, I love my sister. I want to sleep with her, but I can't because I'm going to get in trouble if I do. The uncle's like, play sick. Like, just pretend like you're sick. And he's like, then trick her to come into your room. So now I'm going to skip to that part. So Amnon laid down and pretended to be ill. And also, this just tells you. This just tells you, because I don't know how old Amnon was during that time. I'm going to assume that he was like a teenager, though, or in his early 20s. Whenever you are not being trained up in the way that you should go, Proverbs 22:6, as a child, you are going to be led astray by any false teacher that comes your way, a false prophet or a false religion. Anything could deter you. So then when the king came to see him, Amnon said to him, I would like my sister Tamar to come and make some special bread in my sight so that I may eat it from her hand, because he's saying like he's sick. So he wants his sister to make him bread. So David sent word to Tamar at the palace, and like he tells her to go. And so she took the pan and served him bread, but then he refused to eat because that's not what he came there for. He said, send everyone out of here, meaning like all the servants are already around. So everyone left him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food here into my room so that I may eat it from your hand. And Tamar took the bread she had prepared and brought it to her brother Amnon in his bedroom. But when she took it to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, come to bed with me, my sister. She said, no, my brother. She said to him, don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. So her saying that is just even more point that God was always against this action, point blank, period. And then she says, please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you. So she's, this is so sad, but she's saying even like, you can even just marry me. Like, don't do this. Like, don't shame me. Because during that time, she's a virgin. And if, since y'all don't know how the story's going to go, or maybe you do, but if he goes after this rape and he says, oh no, like we're supposed to be married, like all that stuff, and he could defile her and say that, oh no, like, or she was already promiscuous or something, he could lie on her. And then she too, because they would think that this is sexual morality, she too could be stoned because of his lies and because he's a man during that time and context during this time in the Old Testament matters. But he refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than she, he raped her. And so then Amnon hated her, which is crazy. An intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he loved her. Amnon said to her, get up and get out. Insane. And then the story ends up going that because David as king does not punish his son for raping his daughter, another one of the sons, Absalom, ends up going and kills him. And it just leads to this long tale. And if you do know David in the Bible, when he slept with Bathsheba and then went out to kill her husband and then got her pregnant, David already planted that seed of sexual immorality in his family. And unfortunately, it carried. Now, I'm not saying that it's like a, well, I'll actually have to get back to y'all on that. I'll just put it on the side because I'm actually not 100% sure. But since this is the Old Testament, I don't know if David was dealing with a generational curse whenever he slept with Bathsheba, and then like it went down to his kids. I'm not saying God justified rape for the sake of trying to get a point across to David. I would never say that. But just that sin being planted in them, I don't know if that was a generational curse, or they were just copying their father, or they just were sinners with sin. I don't know how that goes. But yes. And then I guess I will just like close this off on just speaking about the hope that we have to be made new in Christ Jesus. What's up, y'all? This is Editing Me. So I forgot to talk about something that I feel like is of the utmost importance. Christians and sex, and how at times we act so ditzy and oblivious, and we act like sex is not a real thing. We act like married Christians aren't having sex. First of all, sex within a marriage is intimacy. It holds you together. I've heard this quote and it's so powerful. Whenever we're Christians and we're deciding to wait till marriage, Satan does everything that he can to try to get us to have sex. But then whenever we get married, Satan does everything that he can to try to keep us from having sex with our husband or with our wife, because he doesn't want us to stay together. Like, he just always wants to do things that are contrary to Christ. So my recommendation is, whenever you are getting toward that serious dating stage, like you're about to be fiancés at that point, and then you're like about to be married, I would say around that time, like in the fiancé area, or if you feel more comfortable on your actual wedding night, do not just dive straight into sexual intimacy, especially if you were a virgin. But even if you're not a virgin and both of y'all, maybe one of y'all is a virgin but the other's not, or both of y'all were practicing abstinence, yes, before you started, whatever the case is, I really recommend you talking to your partner before y'all just dive into the sex route, because you don't know what you're doing. And even if you had sex before you came to Christ, you don't know what you're doing with your now husband or now wife. They are not who you slept with in the world. This is a new person. And so I would really recommend you talking to your partner, your spouse, about things that you're like, absolutely not. I would never feel comfortable with this happening in our bedroom. Other things where you're like, I could kind of see this happening. And then like a maybe pal where you're like, I'm not too sure. Never, ever, ever, whether they say they're Christian or not, if they're saying they're Christian but they act like this, they're not really Christian. If they're telling you that you should perform X, Y, and Z sexual acts because it pleases them and there's no room for compromise, that is not okay. And that definitely, I would say point blank period, that's abuse. I'm not talking about compromise in the bedroom. I'm talking about you stating that you are not comfortable with something, but because it arouses them, they're forcing you to do it. That is not okay in any circumstance, and God does not approve of that. Sex was meant for married couples to find pleasure and intimacy, like closeness with each other, so that you could be knit and stay together and hold each other and be fruitful and multiply. That's in Genesis. It was not for you to feel like you were some type of object. And I'm speaking toward women, but men can also feel like this. Men, you were more than just your penis. You're not just a tool. Women, you were more than just your vagina. You're not just a dumping ground. And so I don't want either side to feel like that. I really recommend, as Christians, especially if you're parents, talk to your kids about sex before they find it on a in the world, like through a pornographic site or through a friend at school or through a Playboy magazine. Like, I would say definitely, I'm not going to tell you what age because I'm not the parent in the household, but teach your kids a biblical view of sex so that they could come to you with questions instead of going to the world and now creating addictions or perversions and things like that. I would also say, like me, I'm an older sibling. I talk to my siblings about this stuff whenever deemed appropriate. If I were to ever teach like middle school, like later middle school and things like that, I believe that would be an appropriate time to start talking to middle school students about hormones and things like that. And even more so, sometimes elementary students, especially girls, sometimes your hormones go, or you can start puberty earlier than most. So this is education for all. I talked about how earlier in the video, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I don't want sex to be something in the Bible where it's like, oh, we know Christians are, they're dumb when it comes to that. No. Our God created it. It's okay to talk about it. It should not be taboo. Now, that does not mean that you run rampant with like perverse sexual desires. Like, you telling people that you want to be tied up and spanked and all that. Some things should just take your lips and twist them, because some things should not be said. But yeah, I just wanted to say that really quickly and just get into that. Remember, whenever you get married, that's between you and your boo. Don't go telling the world, talking about, oh yeah, my husband had me in this position. Take your lips and twist them. Don't do that. And men, same thing. Don't tell your homeboys like, yeah, my wife did this to me and she performed this act on me. No. Keep the marriage bed undefiled. That's Bible, okay? If it's a gift from God, keep it a gift between you and your wife, you and your husband. The whole world should not know what goes down in your bedroom. But I still think that you should talk about it beforehand, just so that y'all, it may not be the most comfortable thing on the first go round. That's just basic anatomy. Like, no one has to experience that to tell you that. That's just basic anatomy. It's not something that you're used to, so it's not going to be comfortable. But I definitely do think talking about it beforehand, you could take the advice or you don't have to. I'm not forcing you. But yeah. On to the clip.
But before I talk about that, I will actually end on that. But also didn't really mention a lot the hypersexuality that we have in our culture. Unfortunately, today we are telling little children, little girls and boys, that they shouldn't be little girls and boys. Instead of going to the park and playing with friends, we have iPads and we have things like that, and we have more chances for them to be groomed online and to learn these heresies and different identities that they can conform to. Instead of us teaching children right and dressing little girls in little girl clothing that covers their bodies, and teaching young men to be young men, we instead are grooming children and using them for profit. Back then, you would go to jail for extortion. Now, today, well, you still do see it. You have big channels that people used to watch of family channels, and they're going to jail for grooming or selling pictures of their kids on OnlyFans and things like that. Like, it's downright sick and egregious, the hypersexualization that's going on. There was just a video that I saw, and I will actually include it if they still have it up. But someone put up a video of, it was like an It Girl video. So this girl was saying how she feels like, I think it's Chicago. I don't keep up with them, even though they're keeping up with the Kardashians. I don't know which one it was, but Chicago West, I think it is. I think she's only 6 years old. But this girl in a TikTok video was saying how she's like, I just feel like Chicago West is going to be the new, she's going to be like the new It Girl. Yeah. She was like, she's going to be like the new It Girl. And I'll put like the video right here so that y'all can see it.
All up when she gets older. Like, she's already eating everybody up right now. But there's something about Chicago that's just like, every time I see her, I'm just like, damn, like, wow. Like, she's perfect. She's so cute and quiet. And I just feel like she's the next It Girl. Like, because she's just so effortlessly like.
But then this man, he stitched it. And he was saying, like, no, that's actually not okay. Because the lady was also going on and saying how, like, she's like, she's just so cute and so quiet. But the guy was like, no, she's a little girl. She's barely learning how to speak. She's 6 years old. Yes, she could be cute. But to say that she's going to be an It Girl at 6 years old is just hypersexualizing her and trying to push her further into Hollywood than she already is. Y'all already know. We have Sexy Red. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't agree with anything that she says or does, but her beats are catchy. I'm not going to lie and say that it's not. It, like most raps and things like that, they are definitely catchy. They are definitely appealing, like, to the eyes and to things like that. I'm not going to lie and say that they're not. But just the stuff that she talks about, like, whenever we demean ourselves as children of God, like, instead of you saying you're a man of God, and instead of you demeaning yourself to your penis size or just your ab size or just your height, like, we are way more than that. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We are his creation. Like, we're his workmanship, and all that is Bible, by the way, which you can look up. And as women, whenever we reduce ourselves down to just our breasts, or to like how good we can perform oral sex, or how good we are in the bed, or how does your vagina look, is it this way or is it that way, it's insane. Like, we have people now who are parading STDs and STIs and things like that. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. Now, I did talk about a lot, and if you stay tuned or even just a little bit of it, I genuinely am thankful. But I do want to end off with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you struggle with anything I talked about, especially with me ending off on hypersexuality, I definitely have struggled with that and still do struggle with that at times as a result of me being groomed and molested and things like that. I'm here with you. I promise. With almost everything I talked about here in this, except for I didn't really go in detail about orgies, but I don't really feel like I need to. But yeah, with the pornography, with LGBTQ, with I talked about rape in here. I talked about a lot of things with all of that stuff. I know some knowledge about it, or I've learned about it, and there's free knowledge for you in the Bible. All you have to do is ask for it. The book of Proverbs is free, y'all. Proverbs are pithy sayings. They're little tokens of wisdom that you can carry with you. But we're all made new in Christ, even with people that we see like Sexy Red, or I talked about TD Jakes. I talked about Lecrae and TD Jakes. All I'm just going to say is God exposes what he wants to expose with TD Jakes. But seriously though, like, even with everyone else, y'all do know we can still pray for him. You can still keep your distance. Like, you don't gotta be best friends with nobody, period. It doesn't matter Christian or not, or whatever the scenario is. You don't have to be besties with anyone. No one's forced you to do that, but you can still pray for people, pray with people. And, you are still just able to know that prayerfully one day they will be a new creation. Like, if it's your family or just whoever the case is, or you can be a new creation, okay? Because I had to be a new creation. So yeah, with that being said, thank y'all so much for watching this video. I know it was a lot, and I know I said a lot, but all right, I'm signing off. Toodles.
Explain homosexuality as a Christian. Should we shut our mouths?
No. All Christians are obligated and justified in saying something about sexuality, just because first and foremost, we're ambassadors. Mm. That's a part of the Great Commission, is to teach people to obey all that God has commanded. I don't think we should feel like just because that's not my struggle, I get to opt out of the conversation, when really the fundamental struggle is a struggle against sin. And we all share that. Right. Mm. And so there is a sense in which you do know what it's like to have an affection for something that you should not have an affection for. Mm-hmm. And you know what it's like to put that to death, and to mm-hmm. put it to death again, and to put it to death again. Even if you're a straight man, you know what it's like to live in a society that says, why are you sleeping with one woman? That's silly. Having these cultural voices that try to lie to you. If we start to see that there is symmetry between the struggles, even in the distinctions, then maybe that would give us more courage to actually say something.